You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
For a lot of people, freedom is neither release nor independence, but liberty without law and license without restraint.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, in the freedom conferred upon us by your Son through the gospel of your grace, we praise your holy name, accepting your forgiveness of our sins and rejoicing in your promise of life, which is truly eternal. With confidence in your word, we offer to you our thanks for genuine freedom, born at the cross and the open tomb of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to use that freedom out of love for you and to the benefit of the world. In the name of the world's Savior, even Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Bound to be free. That's the story of Martin Luther, whose 500th birthday is being celebrated by people all over the world. It is also the story of countless people who have discovered what it is to be free in Jesus Christ. Jesus promised freedom. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in my Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Oh, to be free! It's a natural human longing, kept from fulfillment by a natural human disposition that wants to live without love for God or for anyone else. Freedom has a lot of different meanings. It can mean release, as it does to someone who's been in the hospital for a long time. It can mean independence in a political sense, or independence in a personal way. What some people would not give today just to be able to worship God without interference. How some people would rejoice to organize their own lives without having someone looking over the shoulder all the time to see what they are doing, constantly breathing down their necks to find out what they believe in their heart. For a lot of people, freedom is neither release nor independence, but liberty without law and license without restraint. The slogan is, "Nobody's going to tell me what I can or cannot do." That platform has caved in more people than you can shake a stick at. It has brought unhappiness to millions, despite its deceptive promise of bringing exactly the opposite. Martin Luther understood the bounds of freedom. Freedom is a land with boundaries, with laws that can be ignored only at the peril of losing freedom itself. When it comes right down to it, in spite of everything that's been said about it, freedom is a gift from God to people who recognize and are willing to live within those boundaries. Jesus Christ said, "If you remain in my word, you will certainly be my disciples and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, then you will most certainly be free." As Martin Luther said in his great treatise on Christian liberty, "One thing and only one thing is necessary for Christian life, righteousness and freedom. That one thing is the most holy word of God, the gospel of Christ. As Christ says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And in John 8:36, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Luther asked the question, what then is the word of God? Luther answered, the word is the gospel of God concerning his Son, who was made flesh, suffered, rose from the dead, and was glorified through the Spirit who sanctifies. According to Romans 10:9, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is clear that the soul needs only the word of God for its life and righteousness. It is justified by faith alone and not by any works. For if it could be justified by anything else, it would not need the word of God. Jesus himself refused to be bound by man-made laws, no matter how pious they were. He committed himself wholly to the will of his Father, by which he was completely bound, even unto death, and that a death on a cross. As Jesus himself said, the will of God is that people should love God and love one another. This is the royal law of love. We should be careful not to put our own human rules above the royal law of love. Obviously, faith in God is not the academic thing that so many people imagine it to be. And love is not the sloppy and sentimental thing that so many people imagine it to be. Faith in God stands strong. Love is loyalty to God and to one another, bound by personal respect, affection, and a willingness to sacrifice oneself in the behalf of others. Faith and love toward God are the royal road to freedom. People are bound to follow that road if they're going to know genuine freedom. Coming out of a sturdy attempt to find freedom in his own personal life by doing pious things in order to overcome his sense of sin, Martin Luther found that God not only expects righteousness of people, but he actually invests people with his own righteousness through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, dying for the sins of the world and being raised from the dead by the glory of his Father to be the conqueror of sin and death. Martin Luther said in his tract on liberty, "The moment you begin to have faith, you learn that all things in you are altogether blameworthy, sinful, and damnable, as the Apostle says in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and none is righteous, no, not one. All have turned aside, together they have gone wrong." When you have learned this, you will know that you need Christ, who suffered and rose again for you, so that if you believe in him, you may through this faith become a new man, insofar as your sins are forgiven and you are justified by the merit of another, namely, of Christ alone. It ought to be the first concern of every Christian, said Luther, to lay aside all confidence in works and increasingly to strengthen faith alone and through faith to grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus who suffered and rose for him. No other work makes a Christian. When people ask Christ what they must do to be doing the works of God, John 6:28, Jesus suggested one work, saying, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." One thing impressed Christ's men, something they never forgot. His constant and continuing willingness, in the face of the greatest provocation, to sacrifice himself in obedience to his Father's will. Peter was terrifically impressed by that. He said, Jesus suffered once the just for the unjust to bring us to God. When he was reviled, he reviled not in return. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed everything to him who judges righteously. Jesus knew his Father and had confidence in his Father. Jesus asked his followers to have that same confidence in God, simply because they knew Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. If you remain in my word, you will certainly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus Christ came to set people free. If you hear my word and keep it with all its commandments and promises, you will be free. Not by your own efforts or even by your own works. You will be free to live and to do as people who are genuinely free. You will be free to be a man or a woman as God intended you to be, boy or girl as God intended you to be. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you will be free, your sins forgiven, and your future committed to the hands of God, who knows a lot better than you do what the future can and will be. Martin Luther pointed out in this wonderful tract on liberty, we must point out that the entire scripture of God is divided into two parts, commandments and promises. The commandments teach things that are good, for the commandments show us what we ought to do, but do not give us the power to do it. They are intended to teach man to know himself, that he may recognize his inability to do good and may despair of his own ability. For example, the commandment, you shall not covet, proves us all to be sinners, for no one can avoid coveting, no matter how much he may struggle against it. Therefore, in order not to covet and to fulfill the commandment, a man is compelled to despair of himself and to seek the help elsewhere which he does not find in himself. As we fare with one commandment, so we fare with all, for it is equally impossible for us to keep any of them. Here the second part of Scripture comes to our aid, that which is impossible for you to accomplish by trying to fulfill all the works of the law, you will accomplish quickly and daily through faith. God, our Father, has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. It is the promises of God that give what the commandments of God demand, and fulfill what the law prescribes, so that all things may be God's alone, both the commandments and the fulfilling of the commandments. God alone commands, and God alone fulfills. This is exactly what Jesus said. If the Son will set you free, you most certainly will be free. If Martin Luther had been asked the question, have you got right with God? He would have answered that the question itself is irrelevant. The question really is, have you been put right with God? The difference between having got right with God and having been put right with God is the difference between the law and the gospel. The law of God condemns and the gospel of God saves. It is the gospel, the good news of God in Jesus Christ, that brings forgiveness and life, peace and joy to the human heart. Martin Luther was not talking through his hat. This is the word of God. Through faith in God, it can be understood. And Martin Luther understood it. Freedom has boundaries, without which it is no longer freedom. Freedom with power comes from God himself and God alone. Freedom as a son or daughter instead of as a slave comes not so much from faith, but with faith that God gives in his Son, Jesus Christ. In his towering work on liberty, Luther said, faith alone can fulfill the law and justify without works. See that the first commandment, which says, you shall worship one God, is fulfilled by faith alone. If you wear nothing but good works from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, you would still not be righteous and worship God or fulfill the first commandment, since God cannot be worshipped unless you ascribe to him the glory of truthfulness and all goodness which is due him. It cannot be done by works, but only by the faith of the heart. Works, being inanimate things, cannot glorify God, although they can, if faith is present, be done to the glory of God. Jesus said, "If you remain in my word, you will certainly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Some nicely religious people answered him, "We are the seed of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anybody. How can you say you will be free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, and amen, I say to you, that everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever. The Son remains forever. When the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the seed of Abraham, but you seek to kill me, and my word does not live in you. What I have seen at the side of my Father, I tell you. But you know only what you've heard from your father." He made no bones about it. Their father was not his father. With freedom of faith in Jesus Christ, born to be free through that confidence in Christ, Martin Luther was at his ever-living best when he talked about good works. In the same tract on liberty, he plowed underground the idea that it doesn't make any difference what you do. "We shall answer all those who, offended by the word faith and by all that has been said, now ask, if faith does all things and is alone sufficient unto righteousness, why then are good works commanded? We shall take our ease and do no works and be content with faith." Martin Luther answered, "Not so, not so. A Christian is the servant of all and made subject to all. Insofar as he is free, he does no works, but insofar as he is a servant, he does all kinds of works. Any man in whom faith has been created in the image of God is both joyful and happy because of Christ, by whom so many benefits are conferred upon him. And therefore it is his one occupation to serve God joyfully and without thought of gain in love that is not constrained." The love of slaves is constrained. The love of sons and daughters in God's family is not constrained. It pops out all over the place from people who do and give of themselves out of the love that God has shown for them in his Son, Jesus Christ. They love Christ as a brother and God as a father, and they show that love to one another in ways that are beyond constraint. As Martin Luther said in his monumental statement on liberty, "A Christian, like Christ, his head, is filled and made rich by faith." Although a Christian is thus free from all works, he often is called upon to empty himself, take upon himself the form of a servant, be made in the likeness of men, be found in human form, and serve, help in every way, deal with his neighbor as he sees that God, through Christ, has dealt and still deals with him. This he should do freely, having regard for nothing but divine approval. He ought to think, "Why should I not freely, joyfully, with all my heart and with an eager will, do all the things which I know are pleasing and acceptable to such a Father who has overwhelmed me with his marvelous riches? I will therefore give myself as a Christ to my neighbor, just as Christ offered himself for me. I will do nothing in this life except what I see as necessary, profitable, and helpful to my neighbor, since through faith I have an abundance of all good things in Christ. Surely we are named after Christ, not because he is absent from us, but because he dwells in us, that is, because we believe in him and are Christ's to one another and do to our neighbors as Christ does to us." As Christ gives freedom to you through faith in him, my friend, you are bound to be free. Bound to Christ, you are bound to be free. Luther said, "A Christian is a free lord of all and subject to no one." And he also said, "A Christian is a ministering servant of all and subject to everyone." These two statements do not contradict one another. They say exactly what St. Paul said. You are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, as an opportunity for selfish living, but through love be servants of one another. That's true freedom. Within the limits of true love and genuine responsibility to the living God and to all who've been redeemed by Christ's blood. That includes everyone. You are free to throw stones, but not through your neighbor's window. You're free to use drugs for recovery from illness, if that's what it takes. But not free to destroy yourself through the use of harmful narcotics. You're free to drive, but not when you're drunk or stoned. You are to be free responsibly. That is not slavery. Freedom within bounds prevents us from producing a chaos in which nobody can enjoy freedom. Jesus himself pointed out plainly, the heart of real freedom is faith in him. The soul of genuine freedom is love for God and for one another. Even as Christ's disciple John said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. He said that with profound respect for God, and out of deep personal affection for the Lord he knew so well, even Jesus Christ. If the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. Martin Luther found it out for himself, right out of his reading of the Word of God. Freedom is not found in being a slave to sin, or even given to some virtues as a device to overcome the guilt of sin. Freedom is found in being a slave to a different master, becoming a son or a daughter in the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, who says with utter sincerity to all the world, come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If that son sets you free, my friend, then you will be free indeed. Amen.